Okay, let's review those turnarounds. Okay, when you're playing a blues progression in E, we're gonna start with this one. So Middle finger. Okay, middle finger, there you go. Now try the third finger. So what you do is you're pulling the string straight down towards the floor, like a bow and arrow. Like you're just pulling it like that.
Thank you.
There you go. Good. That's how you memorize it. Just like this. Memorization technique. Go like this. Remember that? Sit your hand down. Reach up. Grab the cord. Let's try these three notes. Though. There's two forms that are used. The standard form, four bars of E. So you go 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 3. That's four bars of E, right? And the second four bars is two bars of A and then two bars of E.
Yeah.
So you got 4 bars being all E, the very second bar they switch to A. So that sounds like this. Jam sessions around clarinet where people can't ever get it right, or they don't know where the quick change is, or someone starts playing a standard form and then someone starts playing the quick change for him. And I've seen everything, you know, occur where one guy will start playing four bars of E, and the second guy will play a bar of E, then a bar of A, and the E and A collide together. It sounds like shit. Or you get these guys that when they start playing, they don't start on bar one. They start on bar three, and they think they're on bar one. So it turns into just this train wreck. And so you got to be careful when you jam with other guys that, A, everybody's paying attention to where bar number one is. That's like the most common total fuck up is where these guys will start playing. They'll just jump in. I'll start playing. And then they're starting on bar three. So people hear that jump to the A chord. And so they go, oh shit, I better go to the A. They're going to A. So everybody jumps to the A. But then they realize they screwed up the form completely by doing that. There's hundreds of jam sessions that have been like that. So you guys got to be careful that when you're jamming with the guys, if they switch to the A, that if they don't know what they're doing and they just randomly just jump to the A, that you can follow them and figure out where you're going to land on the right key. Now, if you play with guys that know what they're doing, you don't have to worry about that. You're the one that's going to be paying attention to where you're landing. But if you're playing with guys that don't know what they're doing, you got to sort of work with it and just like see if you can land where they land. Unless you got some guys that just randomly change it every time they go through it, which happens too, where you know people have no idea what the form is. They'll go like this. I've heard shit like that where you just go, okay, honestly, in my heart, I just want to smack you across the face with a hot chain. But really, we don't do that here. So there's all kinds of massive screw-ups on the blues. Usually, the guys that have been playing for a while don't do it, don't screw up. But when you throw somebody in the mix who doesn't know what they're doing, and they go to that four chord. People hear that four chord, they go, oh, they jump in, they go to the four chord. And if the guy who's doing that jumps back to the E chord again and screws everybody up, you can have a total train wreck, man. It's like, it doesn't sound like blues, it just sounds like a smash-up derby or a figure-eight car race, man. So you got to be careful that you follow the form. You probably have it in there under blues and E and blues and E. Do you have it in there?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to grab it real quick?
Yeah, sure.
So blues has three basic forms that are really popular. You know, you got the 12-bar form, standard form, the quick change form, and then you've got the form which is like the 16-bar form, which is like hoochie coochie, man. And then you've got another weird little one called the 8-bar form, which is not used a ton. It's used in old blues, like from the 40s and 50s. And then Stevie Ray Vaughan did an 8-bar form on one song, which was really cool that he did it again. He did a song called Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Uh-huh.
And that's an 8-bar form. So he does a strange form. Hoochie Coochie Man is 16-bar form.
That one?
Yeah, check that out. Instead of 12, it's 16. We'll get to that later. Okay. Try the first one. Page one.
A?
Blues, yeah, blues and A. Now what kind of form is that? A standard or quick change? It's quick change because
it starts
second
off
bar
two bars,
switches
two
to
ones.
The D, right?
Yeah. And then it goes to the
A. So standard form would be all four bars of A, right?
Uh-huh.
Then the rest is always the same. I've seen some guys play standard form where they play A, then go to D, then go to A,
uh-huh,
and then go to E here, then D here,
uh-huh,
and then A, and don't go to the E, just stay on A. And then I've also seen it even more simpler than that, where they just play A, D, and then A, then E for two bars, and then A for two bars. That's like sub-standard, like sub-human blues. Like guys that can't go to the five chord.
So boring.
It can be really boring, unless the singer is some famous guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like you got like somebody like Taj Mahal doing a song where he doesn't go to the D, he'll just stay on the E here. That's acceptable because he's intending to do that.
Yeah.
He knows that he's making it purposely sparse because that's the creativity of his songwriting. He's doing it that way. And he knows what he's doing. He could easily do this form,
yeah.
But he chooses to do it a different way because that's he's trying to achieve some kind of sparsity in the song. And the reason why is because usually the vocal lines are what you're trying to draw your attention to.
Uh-huh.
Or the lyrics or something. You're trying to draw your attention to the lyrics rather than some guys just playing chords like crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, guys like Stu Ray Vaughan, he works in the medium of blues all the time. He worked in the medium of blues. He's dead, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like some kind of mystery how he died.
Nah.
It was some weird... Yeah, it was some
wasn't
weird...
Wasn't any mystery. It was a helicopter crash.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Maybe it was a mysterious helicopter.
Yeah. No, I don't know. There was something tied... Because somebody said he sold his soul and all that garbage, but...
No.
I don't know.
All that stuff is really kind of spooky shit that they say about Robert Johnson.
Yeah, they said he was like kind of the Robert Johnson kind of guy. Same kind of thing was going on with him.
Maybe.
I don't know.
You could talk to Uncle Chris about this. He has a theory about Eric Clapton, how Eric Clapton, everybody in his wake gets destroyed, you know, or swallowed up by his whole career, you know. And everybody who's worked with Clapton never has a career after they work with Clapton.
True, yeah.
He uses them and then sucks them dry, and then they go on. They still have careers, but they're never really... They
as good as what they were with Clapton.
Yeah. I've seen it happen, you know?
Yeah.
Robert Cray is a classic example. He jumped on the Robert Cray. George Terry, back in the 70s, George Terry played lead guitar for Clapton, and he was ripping.
Yeah.
But no one's hears from him ever again.
Yeah,
what happened to him? You know, and then Robert Cray, he was coming on really strong, and then Clapton kind of took him into his wing, and now it's like Robert Cray doesn't really have the kind of success he once did. I'm worried about Derek Trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Because now Trucks is playing with Clapton, right?
I don't know. I have that Derek Trucks band CD, but...
Ooh, mean. Those guys are intense.
Yeah, I know.
He's in the Allman Brothers, and he's also in his own band. He's also he's like in three bands, right?
Yeah, I think so. Whew. Pretty intense.
Well, really intense. Okay, so standard form and quick change form. Okay, now let's go to the next page. Okay, this one is more like in the key of B flat, which is not really a guitar key.
It's brass key, right?
It's a horn. Yes, exactly. Because all these guys play with horn players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the horn players have a bitch of a time playing an A and E. They hate it, right?
Uh-huh.
And but when you play in B flat, they're right at home. So a lot of these guys will say, well, screw it, let's play in B flat.
Mm-hmm.
B.B. King plays, he played, I think The Thrill Is Gone was in B flat when they started doing that. And then one guy that plays in B flat was Chuck Berry.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievably so. B flat is a really good key for horn players.
Uh-huh.
So guitar players should be able to adapt by just moving your hand up one fret. Should be no big deal, right?
Yeah.
But for some reason, most guitar players just lose it completely when you say B flat. They can't handle it. They just start having like mental attacks or something, you know. B flat's real easy. It's a sixth fret. Then you go to quick change to E flat. Why do you play like that? Why do you play that? Well, you probably want to put a little Okay, so you got those. Go to the next one. Now, where's the turnaround for this one? You gotta go. So you gotta break yourself of that habit of using those two fingers. Because you're limiting yourself to doing all these other super happy, tricky licks. C blues. There's guys that play blues in A and E all the time, mm-hmm. but they're really amazing, amazing players who solo. They like C for some reason. You got Johnny Winter, of course. Mm-hmm. You got Stevie Ray Vaughan, Sky is Crying, Eric Clapton. And then one guy who also played in C in blues was Alvin Lee. And he did a tremendous song called Slow Blues in C, which I'll get for you later. But those four songs, if you just studied those four songs in C for like 2 years, you would learn probably every blues lick that ever existed. Wow. With those four songs, just from those four guitarists. Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eric Clapton, Alvin Lee, and Johnny Winter in C. Another guy who played in C, which was not really bluesy, more was like modal, was Jimmy Page. They did... he did a minor blues in C two times, and he doesn't really use a blues scale on it. He more of a dark modal, alien mode scale. So we kind of set him aside for being a blues player. He's not really in the same, like, he's all haunted, you know?
He's in a different area.
Yeah. These guys are playing blues. He's doing some weird, spooky, haunted shit, you know? So it's based on blues, but it's weirder. All right, so C blues, we got a C here. Process 1, 2, 3, like that. practice doing that. 1, 2, 3 process. You'll never go wrong. And then this note appears. That makes it a 13th chord. That's a 9th chord. That's a 13th chord. So there's... Okay, then. Okay, that's F7. Or F13 or F9. Back to C7 again. Support. I do that all the time when I print something out and students will call me up. Hey, are you sure about bar number da 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 da? It's got an F7 and a G7. Thank you for pointing that out to me. I feel like an idiot.
I value your support.
Okay, so that's C blues progression. You got a C9 here, C7 here. Okay, then a couple of other C7s. You got this one here. This is a Johnny Winter. It's a C9 right there without the root. You put the play the root. Sounds like that, but that's kind of a tricky grab, so you want to just use your left hand. Okay, you gotta scrunch them together. There it is. Yeah, you can do that. The new guy that's doing it now with two hands is Stanley Jordan. Stanley Jordan, man. Yeah, YouTube Stanley Jordan. You'll sit there and shit your pants, man. The guy plays complete jazz ballads with two hands, and he doesn't ever strum. He just always, it's a tapping sound rather than a strumming sound. I can't even. I'm not even going to start. I'm not even going to bother. Because he's so good at it, and I suck at it so bad, you know. And here I am, you know. So why bother? I just work on this. I just enhance the stuff I already know.
Yeah.
Now, you can do that two-handed. You're young enough to where you can do that two-handed stuff. You have to spend a lot of time and work on it.
Yeah.
But you got to like that style. You got to like doing it.
Yeah.
So you should check him out and see if it's interesting at all. But it's kind of, watching him play, it's kind of like a circus show, man.
Yeah.
You know, after I saw him in concert one time. And he was just so mind-blowing with his two-handed technique. But I realized he can't play in a band because he's already the band.
Yeah.
You know, because he does bass and chords and mid lead all at the same time. I was thinking, you know, what he really needs is a monkey with a cup with some pencils in it. So people can toss him some quarters, man. Sorry, Stanley.
Too good for his own good.
Sometimes it happens with these guys. All right, so this is C7, F7 right now. Here's the blues we talked about. Now, listen. There's the form. So that's a quick change form, right?
Uh-huh.
All right, that was my point. I'm just trying to... And when you get to that last chord there, the 5 chord, we call the turnaround. And the turnaround is when you do this. You got to kick that bad habit of using those two fingers, okay? Okay, so there's that one. And you got this one. Did this one on whatever. Thank you. Lead Belly, started playing 12-string guitar and blues.
Juan Luis McTell did that too, right?
Yeah, and the 12-string, it was popular because it was as loud as a piano. So guitarists were always trying to compete with piano players on volume, and they always got clobbered because the pianos were louder. But the 12-string came along, and it was just as loud. So people started playing those 12-strings, right? But a lot of those guys in the South, they didn't have any money at all, so they couldn't afford a 12-string. So what did they do? They tried to emulate the sound of a 12-string by doing two open strings. Twanging those open strings, right? So this is an emulation. To make it louder so they can play with piano players, right? So that's kind of where that sort of twangy, loud sort of playing style came from, was just these guys couldn't afford 12 strings and they tried to make it sound. They liked the sound of the 12 string, but they just didn't have one, right? So what's the next thing you can do? Well, they try to emulate it, you know, by playing two unison notes of the same E and E, or B, E, and B.
Thank you.
strings up here. Chinese guy, and I showed him He wanted to learn blues, right? He was a Chinese guy, he wanted to learn blues. I was thinking, this is going to be interesting. So I was teaching this guy blues, and I showed him this lick. He goes, oh, yeah, show me that one again. I want to learn that. I showed it to him. He goes, what do you call this? I go, that's a Joe Texas. He goes, okay, I want to go home practice Joe Texas lick. So he called it the Joe Texas. Yeah? And he probably called up his wife. Yeah, I want to show you Joe Texas lick when you come home from work. And she's probably, oh, very good. Joe Texas lick.
Joe Texas, sorry.
That'd be a cool stage name, Joe Texas.
I wouldn't want to be called that.
Joe Texas, man. Okay, there's blues in E. So there's a turn. So there's like one, two. There's like one, two. Nine more when you play them backwards, like Clapton.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the G blues. That's the G blues progression there, yeah. You gotta figure it. Try to get away from this. Yeah. Okay, the G blues, where are we doing that? When you drop down to a D.
Thank you.
that groove over and over again for like 6 hours while everybody takes a solo, right? That's the drag I'm playing. Blues band is, when you're not soloing, you gotta play that same thing, repeat it 10,000 times in a row, and you can't screw it up because that's the whole groove.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got turnarounds, and we got these blues progressions. Try to do them in two or three different keys, mm-hmm. And then the backwards ones, don't forget those.
Mm-hmm. Top the ones.
Yeah. Keep working on the timing. Yeah, that's cool. So you get it?